which is not very high.
Yeah.
So that keeps the have-nots in a position of have-not, and what wealth the have-nots have is being funneled into the hands of the haves, and that causes world tensions and wars and the things that we're looking at.
Can I say one little comment? I think that if I were in a situation like that, I would offer the licensing rights to the government so they could pay off the national debt while they were contracting or letting this out to American contractors.
I want you to think about what you said, Joseph.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bill.
That would end free energy forever if you put it in the hands of the bureaucrats.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Jack, you're on.
Hi there, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Malibu Jack here.
Yeah, Jack.
Well, before I make my main point, which I would like to put more or less in the form of a question to you, I would like to lay a basic premise, so if you will please bear with me. I've been following your promotions of the free energy devices for a long time now, your writings in Let's Talk magazines, and I think in the Let's Talk magazine, and I think it's just great. I'm all for it. It coincides with my basic philosophy of life. People have lived for thousands of years without all this oil and gasoline and everything, and it's my basic philosophy that the people of this planet should get back to a non-polluting, more pristine lifestyle, and this is just great, given this the free energy device and everything, so it won't be polluting the planet. Given your promotions of this, these free energy devices, I was extremely surprised when I heard you a while ago on the program this evening to hear you even allude to the possibilities that we the fact that we have these great oil surpluses in Prudhoe Bay and that we might possibly use them. I mean, science has been raping Mother Earth for a long time and polluting it with the drilling and raping Mother Earth of her fossil fuels and everything like this. I mean, why would you even allude to the possibility that we take advantage of these so-called resources when we have this free energy device?
Well, we're talking about just the energy problem altogether, that we're having to pay so much for petroleum energy. Far more than is necessary because of the great abundance of petroleum that is available to us. Here, greed has taken over. And I certainly in agreement with you that we have moved into a technological period, if that can be developed, where petroleum products then can be used for something that is far more productive for the American people or for the people of the world than burning it for energy. If we could use those products we could make arid lands fertile again. Petroleum products provide the basis for medicines and fertilizers and food and clothing and housing and shelter, things that can be extremely helpful to humankind. And those very vital areas for the needs of petroleum products are denied petroleum products because we are burning it away at an incredible clip in order to make energy. So we don't need to pollute the atmosphere to get energy anymore.
That's true. But don't you think through our great scientists, of which we are now producing, such as John Bernini, that we could find an alternative energy source other than petroleum, because would still require drilling and oil spills and all that sort of stuff.
That's exactly what's being done, Jack. Can you hang on just a second?
Sure.
I've got to do something here. I'll be right back.
I'm
Bill Jenkins. It's open to mobile goods or services for ourselves to make a better and more pristine planet. Our problem now is that in the use of petroleum energy, we are, of course, doing great damage to the planet and its atmosphere and losing our forest. The great black forest of Europe is now dying away because of the pollution that we're putting into the air. And most of that can be attributed either to petroleum products or to coal or to fossil fuel burning.
Right.
We have gone through the period of fossil fuel burning. We now have the technology where it isn't necessary for energy. It will be necessary for a while because even if Joe Newman had his device patented as of tomorrow and Bedini had his online as of tomorrow, it would take a long time for that to come online. So
there has to be a transition period.
There is a transition period. And I do think it would move very quickly because the problem is a desperate one on the planet.
Well, thanks a lot, Bill. I sure am happy to have to be able to speak with you this evening.
Well, thank you for listening, Jack. And we have two more hours to go tonight of Open Mind. Our guest is to be Joseph E. Newman, and he is standing by in Loosendale, Mississippi. We'll try to get a better line. We're having thunderstorms down there that makes it just a line that we cannot use. But we'll be checking back with him throughout the evening to see if we can fill in the space of free energy.
Happy celebration 25.
That rivals anything on the soap operas of Joseph E. Newman. Joseph E. Newman, an inventor in Loosedale, Mississippi, who has invented a terrible thing, a machine that produces more energy than it uses. And what that has generated has been court cases, has been bureaucrats going crazy because they don't want him to have the patent on that device. Unfortunately, we have not been able to establish a good contact with Joe at his home in Loosedale. Mississippi, they're having rainstorms down there. The line was just not any good. We did have a chance to talk to him a little bit, but we do want to keep the matter of energy and technology and how technology is changing our world and how there are those that don't want the new technology to come into our world because it upsets their little apple cart and the great problems that that's generated. All right, we have Bill on the line. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Bill. I'm very skeptical about people who claim they have perpetual motion machines.
Wait a minute, Bill. We're not talking about a perpetual motion machine.
The or free energy.
The perpetual motion machine that there is, I suppose, is a celestial body, and it will probably run down, too.
Yeah, or free energy devices.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And my reason for skepticism is that if you go out to the homes of these people, they're still hooked up to the electric companies. They still have their lines from the gas company. And one of the things I would like to have you ask Mr. Newman is he still hooked up to the electric company, the gas company at his home? Does he still drive a gasoline-powered car? Now, if he had this unlimited source of free energy, the first place he would use it would be in his own home. If I had such a thing, I wouldn't be paying my gas and electric bills every month and paying for gas for my car if I had such a device.
You know, Bill, let's see
these guys put up or shut up.
That's a very good question, and that question has indeed been asked, and the answer is that Joe Newman is still hooked up to the electric company out there. The reason is that the device that he has, I think he has three of them that are sitting there working, are devices that only prove a theory. To get that theory now into the workable unit that you would want in your home, now requires research and development money, which is what he's trying to develop. But before you can do that, you have to have a patent which would give an investor any reason to go ahead with it because there would be returns on his investment. So we have a theory-proving device. And that's all. We don't have a device yet, in the case of Joe Newman, that will power your house or your automobile. But when the theory works and you see that the theory is there, then, from that point on, you can go once you've taken the other legal steps. And, you know, that's where that causes. And for you to come across and say the machine doesn't work because his house isn't powered by it shows that you're not into this very well and you haven't done too much study.
Well, I don't like the idea of you putting me down that way because I think it's, you know, an ad hominem argument. If it worked, if I had a device that could produce more energy than it used, if it was 1 watt, I could make it do something. So don't give me the stuff because I can't put it into practice in my house because of research and development. That's nonsense, and you should know better than that, Bill.
Well, now, if you have a little theory-producing device that only produces, say, 1 watt, you're not going to run a house on that. I've been out to John Bedini's laboratory. His device has produced thousands of watts. You can't run a house on that.
So you make up enough of them. If they make more energy than they use, then you can multiply them.
In the case of Bedini, he's constantly making more devices. They do operate. They do sit there and work. These other things have to be done so that you can get a model that is marketable that you could sell. This takes money to put that all together.
Well, I think it's nonsense. The other thing that makes me skeptical
you think
is
it's
that
nonsense.
Yes,
for what, Bill? Have you
because,
seen the science?
No, because
the machines
it
work?
Doesn't.
Do you know
no, they don't work.
Happen?
No, they don't work any place. And you make it sound like
Bill, you said they don't work any place. Now, what made you say that?
Well,
you
just admitted
any data whatsoever.
Yes, I do. You just admitted that this guy didn't have it working in his own house.
He doesn't have it powering his house, but the machine does work.
If he had a free energy source, come on, get off it. If he had a free energy source, the first place he would use it is in his own house. You are really hoodwinking the people with this nonsense. And let me mention the other thing I think that's nonsensical is that you make it sound like the United States is the only country on the face of the earth and that the U.S. Patent Office is the final authority on the face of the earth.
It is if you're going to do business.
No. Look, if he had an energy device that was so great there would be hundreds of nations, not just the U.S., hundreds of nations that would want it. But see, the fact is that this is bogus, and you try to put this out as something that really works.
I think
you are doing a disservice.
I think that you weren't listening, Bill.
I was listening to the whole time.
Already has a number of his international patents, but he is not interested in producing the device overseas. He wants it produced in America. Now, if you want the patent numbers and the patent documents, you can write Joe Newman. What was that box? Route 1, Box 92 in Lucedale, Mississippi. He'll be able to provide you with all of that, Bill.
Well, he can't make it work in his own house.
For you to come on and say nonsense.
It is nonsense.
You haven't gone into the data. You haven't looked at the machines. You haven't looked at the scientific research that's been done about it. You haven't looked at the reports from independent physicists that have gone down and tested this and other machines that say that it works. And they are physicists. They know their physics. I doubt if you do. And I don't know.
Well, see, you're using the ad hominem argument again. You know, this is typical of you people, is you use an ad hominem argument when you are trying to put somebody down.
Explain to
for
me what an ad hominem argument is.
Against a person.
What person are we against here?
You are against me. You're saying I don't know anything about physics.
Well, now you're saying that it's nonsense, and I'm asking you what your data for nonsense is, and you have given me none other than the fact that if you
let
had one, you would have it powering your house. That's nonsense. That doesn't make sense.
Let him power his own house. Let him show that it works before he starts making all these great claims.
No, he's showing that it works. That's the idea.
He has yet to show it works.
The master in the court, in federal court in Washington, D.C., the master who is a physicist that was appointed by the court that was acceptable to the government and acceptable to Mr. Newman, said the device works and he didn't know how.
The courts are not the arbiters of scientific truth.
I see, Bill. They should have called you in there.
Maybe they should have.
And I imagine your background would be great at that.
I think it would be better than the people ahead looking at it.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Bill.
Bye-bye.
All right. They're out there, aren't they? All right. We have David on the line. Hi, David.
Yes, Bill. How much did it cost to make this machine?
Oh, the amount of time and energy and money that Mr. Newman put into that machine?
Yeah.
Soars into the hundreds of thousands of dollars if you want to, you know, charge his time and all of that other stuff.
Well, how much do you think it would cost the average person once they get in their house?
I have no idea what that would scale down to. I think that's covered in Joe's book, though, the approximate cost of what it should be, all things considered.
Well, if he has other patents in other places, why does he start there?
He wants to do it in America. So, you know,
what other countries does he have?
Hmm?
What other countries does he have patents in?
You can write Joe.
You don't know?
And he will be glad to give you all of that information.
You don't know what other countries?
I think he's got some German patents and some Japanese patents and things like that.
Well,
I'm just having to remember what he told us the last time he was on the air, David. Don't test me too far on that. But the data is available from Joseph Newman, Route 1, Box 52, Lucedale, Mississippi, 39452.
How can he? If he had it working in Japan.
He didn't have it working in Japan.
If he would. And how could the U.S. disprove it? They'd have to go along with it if it was working down there.
Long, complicated story. I think he wants to break down this great idea that they have at the patent office that these kind of devices, as you know, Bill said before, the previous caller, are nonsense. Even though they sit there and watch them work.
Yeah. Well, why doesn't he get this on the network nightly news?
It has been.
On the network?
Dan Rather has done a number of stories on Joseph Newman.
Just tell two?
Mm-hmm.
Dan Rather?
Dan Rather's had them on.
Not Peter James or any of the others?
Well, Dan Rather's the only one I know. Whether Peter has done a story on it or Tom, I'm not sure.
I watch it every day and I've never seen it.
I have the videotapes of the CBS reports, a whole series of reports on CBS, actually, on the Joseph Newman device. All right? It's one of those nights. Open mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. We're talking free energy. We will try to, we'll keep trying to reach Joe and see if that line clears up down there as the evening goes on. It's better that he answered these questions, really, than me. And we'll be back to your calls in just a moment. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's open mind. And that's a good question that Karen just asked. When are we going to England? We're going to England. And you go, too, if you want to. In the last week in October, we leave here, I think it is the 23rd or 24th, something like that. Fly over to London, all of us, and we have taken over the Waldorf Hotel, I believe it is, right down in the heart of London. We'll have a chance to see London. We will visit a number of the great castles and the so-called haunted houses of London, get all of that lore. We will go up and spend most of a day at Stonehenge and then on over to Bath. We will have a couple of banquets in the banquet halls of a number of some of these castles where the haunted people and spirit manifestations go on and are well documented. We will be briefed by Lord Clancarney of the House of Lords about the UFO investigation of the British Parliament and their ongoing efforts to find out more about it. We will be briefed about the matter of psychic phenomena in terms of spirit manifestations or ghost by some of the leading authorities in London. We have about three of those lectures that will take place at the hotel on those mornings. We certainly have a chance to see London. Then on Halloween night, October 31st, we will all assemble on the Royal Vessel Barracuda, which sails up and down the Thames, and have a dress-up Halloween cocktail party and dinner as we sail under the London Bridge and by the Tower of London, where ghosts, of course, inhabit those places. So, and then come on back on the 1st of November. And we would like for you to go through the KABC Travel Club. We have made this a most inexpensive way to have a grand time with those of us that have some similar interests in the matter of psychic phenomena, UFO research. Certainly you would like to see Stonehenge. It'll be an inexpensive way to go. And I would like for you to go. All you need to do is write me a letter with your name and address and say, hey, I'm packed, I want to go. I'll turn that over to Chucky Travel of Travel Consultants of America. They will contact you with the package and what it costs and all of that sort of thing. But they have really got it down to a very, very inexpensive way to see London. And this is a good time to go to Europe, you know, where the dollar is very, very strong. You can save money just shopping if you want to go. So it should be a fun-filled week, and we're getting excited about it. I'd like for you to get excited about it. We have room for you. So come on. It's first-come, first-served basis. And for those of you that have already written in, they have finished the brochure, so you should be getting your packet from Travel Consultants of America during the course of this next week. Let's see what is on Keith's mind. Hello, Keith.
Hi, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I was just calling about when Dan Rather had John Bedini's free energy device on.
No, that was Joe Newman's.
It was Joe Newman. Mm-hmm. Right. What exactly, you know, was it about? I mean, did Dan Rather, was he skeptical about it or what?
No. He had a field reporter, of course, who traveled down to Loosedale,
mm-hmm.
interviewed Joe. You looked at the machine. You watched it work. You also, in that series of broadcasts that CBS did, you had a reaction from a number of physicists who had studied the machine thoroughly. You had the reaction from the head of the Mississippi Energy Department. I think it's Energy and Mining in Mississippi, but the head of that bureaucracy of the state of Mississippi, who totally said that that machine works and there is no doubt about it, and that it was a national treasure. So you had that kind of a series of reports that covered it all. There were also a series of reports that were run on WWL in New Orleans. They watched the story very, very closely down there, and that's the CBS affiliate in New Orleans.
And it's funny, though, that all these top professors and everything said it worked, and the scientists are so skeptical about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What does it take to convince them?
Well, you know, Madame Curie ran across that same thing. She had an awful lot of trouble with the great minds of her time that were running the scientific community. That's a very skeptical bunch. They put themselves in rarefied air, and if somebody comes along that knows something more than they do, they really get upset about that.
One quick question. Do you know anything about the pyramids on Mars?
I've seen photographs of them. They're there. Mm-hmm.
But you don't know anything else about them?
No. But I don't think anybody else does, other than the photographs that there are a precious few of them, too. I think that show not only the pyramids on Mars, but also show what's known as the face on Mars.
Yeah, I heard that.
And the best work on those two photographs, the Starburst Pictel computer enhancement process, has been done by two fellows by the name of Don Molinar and Vincent DiPietri of Mars Research in Greenbelt, Maryland. And they have taken all of the telemetry and enhanced that computer-wise, where you can get a very good look at those pyramids, which I think are quite fascinating, and that the pyramids are there, and they have a relationship to this huge face that's staring up at you out of the ground, which is a man's face, eyes, ears, nose, or it seems to be. But the distance between the pyramids and the angle of delineation between the pyramids and the face is almost exactly to the inch and to the degree. The distance between the Sphinx and the two outside pyramids at Giza.
I read about that. And there's also, you know, connections between the Mayan cultures and the Egyptian cultures and,
mm-hmm.
you know, hieroglyphics. And the crash saucer, Roswell, mm-hmm. had hieroglyphics on board, you know, so, you know.
I hadn't heard about the crash saucer having hieroglyphics on board.
It's in the book, Roswell Incident.
Oh, it is in there. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just one of the things when Bill Moore has been on the show a number of times who wrote that book. He never mentioned it. And I didn't see it whenever I went through the book. But that doesn't mean it wasn't there.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll look through the book and tell you what page it's on, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Bill. You got a great show.
All right.
Thanks for talking.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Glad to have you aboard. And we have Veronica on the line. Hello, Veronica.
Hi there, Bill. I know that you're a very well-read gentleman, and I'd like to...
I do it all with mirrors, Veronica.
And Sunday, 1981, July 12th, in the Los Angeles Herald Examiner, was an entire article written by Don Branning, Herald Examiner staff writer, about Nikola Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that you know quite a bit about him.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have read his diary.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman who has promoted Tesla throughout these years is a fellow from Yugoslavia by the name of Nick Basura.
Mm-hmm.
And he has written about 9,000 letters and has spread the gospel, you might say, about Tesla all over the country, and it's because, or in the world, actually. And it's because of this gentleman that people know about Tesla in this country. It's possible. I'd like to give his address, and you can get books from him about Tesla.
Sure.
And the diary as well. His address is 3414 Alice Street, L.A. 90065. And I think Tesla was a great man. The person who called you and called all of this stuff nonsense ought to get a hold of some of Nikola Tesla's writings about the machines that he used to have free energy, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
The world would do much better to know about Tesla and people like this and try to get some kind of a revolution started so that we can get something.
Well, you know, Veronica, it is very satisfying to me to note that the world is indeed beginning to pay attention to Nikola Tesla, as they have never done before. Sadly, it always happens this way, that the science of Tesla, along with the science of people like O.T. Henry Morey of Salt Lake City,
mm-hmm.
the great interest comes whenever that science can be used to develop great weapons systems.
I think...
And that's what's happening, particularly in the Soviet Union, where they have taken the Tesla technology and used the wrong end of the sword. But that's just a part of the ethic of our time, and hopefully we'll grow out of that.
I think the man who also called this nonsense should know that Nikola Tesla, who invented these wonderful machines for free energy, turned down the Nobel Prize in 1912.
It was because he didn't want to share it with Thomas Edison.
Right, who said, quote verbatim, Thomas Edison says this, "My personal desire would be to prohibit entirely the use of alternating currents. They are as unnecessary as they are dangerous." Unquote. Thomas Edison said that in 1912. Anyway, this is a great man, and we need to have more guys like this, and I wish I had the ability to understand these things as well as some of you folks. But even as just a private citizen, we should all band together and do something to the government to just shake them down and make them do something to help us all out in the third world countries as well.
Well, this is one of the things that we look at Joe Newman for, that he has thrown down the gauntlet of breaking this impasse of government when it comes to that kind of technology, and we certainly wish him well. We've got him back on the line here.
Great.
And
let us know if there's something we all can do.
All right.
Thank you.
You stay with us, and we'll get to Joe. Joe, let's try the line. How are you doing?
Okay, I can hear you a lot better now.
Oh, yes. That's the hum is gone. The storm is past.
Well,
where were you when I needed you? They have really been throwing questions at me tonight, Joe.
Okay.
One gentleman wanted to know, for instance, and I explained it the best I could. His name was Bill. That if your machine was really what you crack it up to be, that why wasn't it powering your house and running your car? Do you have an answer for that?
Sure, because it prototype that I built was simply to show the technical process is true. Now, to come up with a finished production unit will be, have to be, as far as a home and automobile, there'll have to be additional work put into it. But I'm working on a production unit now for a pump that will be demonstrated fairly quickly. Can you hear me?
Well, it's not the best in the world, but let's try it for a while. It's more important, I think, for them to talk to you than me, so let's all just kind of grin and bear it. And it's a delight and an honor for us to have you on the line. We'll stick with it for a little while. Another young man wanted to know, basically, what do you see the price range as being for a device that you could use at your home, for instance?
Probably initially, it'll be something like $5,000 or $6,000, and probably 5 years from that time, it'll probably be down around $1,500. This technology will go forward like all technology has, just like on computers and calculators. When they first came out, they were kind of bulky and inexpensive. Now, as everyone knows, they're very, basically inexpensive and very small and compact.
About what size would the device be initially as you see it now?
Probably for a home, it may weigh 600-700 pounds initially, but I expect it will get out even smaller than that. The prototype I'm building now is to pump fluid and produce electricity at the same time. And when I give this demonstration, I'm going to give a public demonstration in New Orleans in probably 2 or 3 weeks. And when I do that, plenty of manufacturers will then want this unit placed on their device, anything from refrigerators to air compressors, you name it. Those manufacturers are going to want it on their device. And if people put these in their home, it means that the home unit can even be smaller, because this product does not use high current. It uses voltage, but not current. A large unit I demonstrated in Capital Center in Washington weighed 9,000 pounds, yet it only ran off of 2 milliamps.
Well, that's not much current to be turning a 9,000-pound machine.
That's right. The rotary itself weighs 700 pounds, and as you know, it takes 1,000 milliamps to make 1 amp. This runs off 2 milliamps. Mm. And conventional motors are designed to use high current. If you want more power, you use more current. As a result of that, they produce heat. Even a little small 12-volt motor, permanent magnet motor, if you run it and then feel of it, it'll feel hot to your touch.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them, in fact, have a little fan built in them to pull air through them to keep them cool down. This device doesn't get hot.
That's fascinating. Another gentleman asked that if you're having so much trouble with our government and the patent office and getting a patent, why not take it overseas? I had mentioned that I thought you had some international patents already secured on the device.
Well, there
have
two patents been issued, one in Spain, one in South Africa. I have them pending in most major countries in the world. But even they're responding similar to what the U.S. Patent Office, the balance of the one of the countries, not all of them, but some of them are taking the same attitude the American Patent Office had. I'm sending them a lot of data. Hopefully they will end up acting more responsible. But majorly right now, Bill, there are a lot of people who are receiving this book who are running tests themselves and building these devices and speaking out. In fact, recently I had a group of engineers from Canada who wrote me a letter saying, they had received two books and had studied them in great detail, and that indeed it's time for this invention to come forward, and they wanted to be involved in the manufacture as quickly as possible, possibly within 60 days. And I'm talking with these people now, and I had another gentleman from a major corporation, from one of the 500 largest corporations of America. He was over a 200-man project of research and development, saying that he had received the book. It was the most exciting book as well as the energy and matter he had ever read, and that he wanted to be involved in finance and manufacture any assistance that they could give relative to putting this invention on the market. And those are the kind of responses I'm getting from very competent people who have received this book. And it warms me, because that was the purpose that I wrote the book, to show that no power on this earth could stop this invention from going forward.
So out of the book, are you able, can someone who can tinker at all perhaps build one of their own?
Oh, yeah. I've had several people tell me they have already done so. But a gentleman in California is starting a project, I think he's calling it the Brooklyn Project. It's the opposite of the Manhattan Project. And
the Brooklyn Project.
Well, he called Dr. Roger Hastings, the senior physicist with Ferry Unirac, you know, who had done
yes.
tremendous amount of testing on this invention. Spoken out on our behalf, they asked him would he be act as consultant with him on this project, and that they had already built one, and that it had worked, as I stated. In fact, the gentleman had called me one morning about 6 o'clock my time, so it was 4 o'clock his time. Apparently he'd been up all night reading it, and expressing to me how excited he was because of the magnitude of what he thought it would do. And I can see that the book is having the impact that I had written it for, because people are mastering it and are speaking out. And I can tell not only are they speaking out, they're building it. And